So happy to be a part of the family here at Oceans Unite Christian Center. Thank you, Pastor, so much for the opportunity to share the word with the flock. As I mentioned, I do believe I have a word from the Lord for us this morning. I shared with Pastor Alex, we sat down and I discussed with him what I felt the Lord was laying on my heart to share. And he gave me the heads up and the blessing to release it and share with you this morning. So he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. I just pray that you guys allow the word of God to speak to you. I know that the topic that I'm going to be sharing with you this morning is a little bit sensitive, but I'm just going to be obedient to God. I titled the message this morning, A Heart for Israel. And I know that when we talk about Israel, when we talk about what's taking place in the Middle East, it's a little sensitive. There are many of you that maybe have family that are living over there, and we know that there's some unsettling times in the Middle East, and we know that that will continue on in the future. So with that being said, I will do my best under the leading of the Holy Spirit to use wisdom and tact in what I share with you this morning, and just pray that you receive the word of the Lord. So we're going to, we're going to jump around. I've got a ton of scriptures, so I'd encourage you guys to write down the scriptures. So we're going to go through it. It's a lot of reading, but we're just going to allow God's word to speak. The prophet Obadiah. Yes, there's a book in the Bible called Obadiah. It's only one chapter. It's a real easy read. But we're gonna look at that. Obadiah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, the vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise and let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You will be greatly despised. So God speaks through the prophet Obadiah to the nation of Edom. And he has some pretty strong words, you know, that he has for them. And he also tells them about a coming judgment upon that nation. And when you understand kind of the history about Edom and their location, you would understand that the nation of Edom, they were a neighbor to Israel. At this time, Israel was split into two kingdoms. You had the northern kingdom, you had the southern kingdom. Southern kingdom was Judah. And the nation of Edom was a neighbor to Judah there. They shared the border. And while neighbors are often, you know, pretty friendly, the nation of Edom was not so. They were actually quite the opposite when it came to Israel. So, and it was because of this, in other words, Edom's treatment and their heart towards Israel, that God was going to judge them. So I want to give you a little bit of a backstory and some history between Edom and Israel. From the time of Moses through the reign of the kings of Israel, Edom always had a something in their heart towards Israel. During the time of Moses, after they were being led out of Egypt, returning, you know, or going to the promised land there, they sought passage through the land of Edom there because it would have been easier on their journey. Numbers 20, verses 14 through 21 says this. Now Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardship that has befallen us, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers. When we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent the angel and brought us up out of Egypt. Now here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your border. Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through the fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory. So Edom responds to Israel, and he said to him, you shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with the sword. So the children of Israel said to him, we will go by the highway, and if I or my livestock drink any of your water, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more. Then he said, you shall not pass through. So Edom came out against them with many men and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. As I had mentioned to you, even during the reigns of the kings, there was issues that Edom had with Israel, from David to Solomon. And then here an example with King Ahaz in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Verses 16 and 17. It says, at the same time, King Ahaz sent to the kings of Assyria to help him. For again, the Edomites had come, attacked Judah, and carried away captives. If that wasn't enough, things begin to get worse. And it actually kind of reached its climax when it came to God dealing with Edom, when God noticed Edom's response to Israel when the nation of Israel was being invaded by Babylon. We all know the story there. We understand that, you know, Babylon was raised up. They came, they destroyed, they burnt the city there with fire. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 17 through 20 tells us what happened there. Therefore, he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand, and all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the walls of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the king of Persia. The nation of Israel went through some very, very difficult times when it came to the invasion of Babylon. And while Edom is sitting there, I want you to look at what the word of God says in concerning how Edom responded to what was taking place with Israel. We go back to the prophet Obadiah. In the book of Obadiah, the very first few verses, God declares about the judgment that's come. He rebukes them because of their pride, because of, you know, so many other things. But then when we get to verses 10 through 14, he really, really begins to shed light on the reason that the judgment is coming to the nation of Edom. And he says this, Obadiah verses 10 through 14. For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. God puts the nation of Edom in the same frame as Babylon, basically saying that you're no different than Babylon that came and invaded and did all of these horrific things to the nation of Israel. And I shared with the first service how when I was reading over this morning, I kept looking at it and I kept seeing like the sin of omission. Because you see, there's sins of commission and sins of omission. In other words, there's things that we know that are wrong and we do them. We commit those sins. But then there's also things that we ought to be doing that we don't do. The Bible says that for him that knows to do good but does not, to him that is sin. When we look at the nation of Edom and what was happening with Israel when Babylon came through there, Edom just kind of sat back and committed a sin of omission. They didn't move. They didn't do anything. And as a result, God says to them, I'm putting you in the same place as Babylon. You're just as bad as them. He says, but you should not have gazed on the day of your brother and the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You should have not entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. They sat back and they watched, and they did nothing. I want to take you to one of the Psalms. And in this Psalm, as I read the first few verses, I want you to look at the heart of Israel during this time. I want you to hear the cry and the heart of Israel. In Psalm 137, verses 1 through 7, it says this: "Beside the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. We put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of poplar trees, for our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget how to play the harp. May my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I fail to remember you, if I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy. O Lord, remember what the Edomites did on the day the armies of Babylon captured Jerusalem. Destroy it, they yelled. Level it to the ground." They sat back and they watched as Babylon did these horrible things. And they didn't do anything to come to their aid or be a support or help them at all, but rather they're encouraging that behavior by saying, level it, destroy it, bring it all the way down to the ground. But I pose this question to you this morning, church. Where does this hatred and disdain that Edom has for Israel, where does it come from, and why is it so bad? Not expecting you to answer. I'm going to tell you the answer. We've got to go back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis to understand where the root of this lies. Genesis chapter 27, verses 41 and 42, we read about the family of Isaac. We read about Jacob and Esau. It says in verse 41 and 42, "So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob.' And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she went and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, 'Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you.'" Esau had an issue in his heart for his brother. And that same spirit continues on, and we see that same hatred and disdain in Edom towards Israel. Hatred, animosity, that's the root right there, Jacob and Esau. The nation of Israel were descendants of Jacob, and the nation of Edom were descendants of Esau. But why was that so bad? Why was it so bad that they were treating Israel like this? There was a lot of nations that treated Israel bad. So what was it about Edom that just, it's like infuriated God? The answer is they were family. They were blood brothers. Jacob and Esau were the two sons of Isaac. The nation of Edom should have been a source of support and strength to the nation of Israel. It should have been their ally. They should have come alongside and fight with them against those that were opposing them. Instead, they became an aggressor towards them. So Wednesday, I felt very, very strongly the Lord give me this word, and he said these words to me. He says, "My church must not embrace the spirit of hatred that is rising up against the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. We must check our heart." Amen. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? It's important that we allow God, through the word of God, to search our heart to see if there's any ill will or anything that is unsettled in our heart concerning the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Again, I understand it's a sensitive subject, but we have to align ourselves with the word of God. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Amen. So this morning, I want to pose another question to you. Why do we as believers, as the church of Jesus Christ, why do we stand and show support for the nation of Israel? Again, that's not a trick question. I'm gonna give you the answers. And the reality is, all we got to do is just read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Because even as I was preparing and putting these pieces together that God was giving me, I just kept seeing over and over and over from scripture to scripture, you see so many things as reasons why we as the church need to stand with Israel. And I'm going to share with you a few of these things. It's important that we understand that we as the church of Jesus Christ are forever indebted to God for what we have received because it has come through the Jews. We should always be ready to give thanks to God for what we have through the nation of Israel. From the very beginning, God had a divine order to establish a nation. His very own special people, and through them, he would make himself known and he would save the world. The God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, decided to choose a man. And Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 tells us about it. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" My family is blessed because of the nation of Israel. Your family is blessed because of the Jews and God's purpose and plan to operate and to work through that incredible great nation. For it is in them that all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. So, I want us to consider what belongs to God, what God says is his. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. He says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth." The nation of Israel is a special treasure to God Almighty. Zechariah chapter 2, verse number 8 says this, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye." The nation of Israel, the Israeli people, are the apple of God's eye. The Hebrew word there that is translated apple, it speaks of the pupil of the eye. It's the most important and the most vulnerable part. So when God would use this term in reference to the nation of Israel, he was using a term of endearment, expressing his incredible love and desire to protect these people. Church, Israel, the nation of Israel has God's heart. If you have a Bible here this morning, can you put it and raise it in the air? Consider what you're holding. We go to the store and we buy a Bible and we go and we put a nice, beautiful cover on it. We get colored pencils and pens and we doodle and we do all kinds of note-taking and highlighting. We wake up early in the morning with a cup of coffee to read it. We sing and worship to songs that sing the very words on those pages. We pray, we witness, we sing, we share that. the word of God, consider it. Romans chapter 9, verses 3 and 4, Paul the apostle says this, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises." Did God give you a covenant? Has God given you a promise? Where did it come from? How did you find out about it? Within those pages of Genesis to Revelation. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." That Bible that you are holding in your hand, God chose men. He inspired them to write the very words that are within those covers. Who were those men? Those men were Jews. It's a book, the most beautiful love letter ever written. It contains 66 little books. Well, what kind of a book is it? It's a Jewish book. Take a moment and consider our salvation. Hebrews said it's so great a salvation. Jesus is at the well with the Samaritan woman, and he's having this conversation. In John chapter 4, verse 22, Jesus says this, and it's so powerful. Speaking to her, he says, "You worship what you do not know. We, the Jews, we worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews." Our salvation has its origin from them. The very freedom, the very forgiveness, and the favor that we experience every single day has come from God and through them. And it's something that the church in Macedonia understood. They understood this, and I want to read in Romans chapter 15 what Paul said concerning them. Romans 15, 25 through 27, he says, "But before I come, I must go to Jerusalem to take a gift to the believers there. For you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do so because they feel they owe a real debt to them. Since the Gentiles received the spiritual blessings of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem, they feel the least that they can do in return is to help them financially." Church, if we do not have a heart for the Jewish nation of Israel, then there is something wrong. We must be very, very careful that we do not develop a heart condition like Esau and the nation of Edom. Thinking about what we just experienced this morning as we enter into the presence of God. When you find yourself in the manifest presence of God and you feel the weight of his glory upon you and you're snotting it up and you're boo-hoo crying and laughing at the same time. I don't even know how that's possible, but it happens, and it's an amazing thing. You better believe that the only reason that you have access to that is because of them. Because God chose them to bring it. The Apostle Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to those that believe, for the Jew first." Consider our Savior. Go back to Romans chapter 9, verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brother and my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen." Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is divinely Jewish. Matthew 1 and 1. Matthew is writing his gospel to an audience, and that audience is specifically Jewish. And the intent and the reason and purpose for which he's writing is he wants the Jews, he wants them to be able to see, understand, and know that Jesus is the Messiah that they had long heard of and awaited. And notice what he says in the very beginning. We always wonder why those genealogies are there. So-and-so begot so-and-so and they begot so-and-so, whatever. Matthew 1:1 says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. In other words, his ancestral roots. Where did Jesus come from? The son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac, Jacob, Esau. Our Savior, the Savior of the world, is Jewish. Consider your identity and who you are in Christ. Romans 2, 28 and 29 says this, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Church, the word of God identifies us with them. We carry their name. I, you, we are spiritual Jews. We are spiritual Israel. Therefore, we can never take a stance that is passive. We can never take a stance that is opposing towards Israel and the Jewish people. We may not always understand everything, but God has a plan, and God's word is true. He proves it over and over again. We have to trust God in his plan and in his infinite wisdom. And we just come in agreement with what God desires. And then consider our roots. A tree has roots. This is the other scripture that the Lord spoke to me on Wednesday. And it's from the Apostle Paul's letter. And it's so powerful. Because in the book of Romans, it's one of the most amazing books done with such tact. And in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is addressing two groups of people. He's addressing the Jews, but he's also addressing the Gentiles. And so you'll find that in the book of Romans, like he'll dedicate like a whole chapter and his audience is specifically to the Jews. And then he'll address another portion of scripture and it's specifically to the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 11, verse 18, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Gentiles. Me, you, unless you're Jewish in here. He's speaking to us concerning the nation of Israel. And he says, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Everything that we have has come from God through them. And while those branches are broken off for a time, God had a plan in all of that. The Bible says that because of Israel's unbelief, it had paved the way for the Gentiles to come in. You see, church, we as Gentile believers, we weren't originally a part of the olive tree. It wasn't ours, but hallelujah, thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy that you took us, a wild olive branch, and that you begin to graft us in to the true olive tree so that we could reap and experience the nourishment of that branch and experience the fruit. Hallelujah. And he says, listen, there are some believers, but in the Jewish believers, but some are those branches that have been broken off. But dare you not position your heart to boast against them because you're in and they're not in. He even says, and later in the thing, he says, all Israel will be saved. God has a plan. They're going to be grafted back in. They're going to be brought back into it. So he's telling us as the Gentiles, be very, very careful your attitude towards the nation of Israel. Church, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. There is a spirit of hatred that is rising up against the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, and it is even infiltrating the church, and it shall not be so. It cannot be so in the true church of the living God. It's always important to realize and remember that our spiritual roots do not lie in our own strength or in our own doing or in our own wisdom. Our spiritual roots are in Jerusalem. They are in the Hebrew prophets. They are in the Jewish apostles. They are in the Jewish Savior. And they are in a Bible that was written by Jews. You see, there are some things that I'm disrupting in the realm of the spirit right now. There are some things that are getting agitated because the word of God is going forth. Jeremiah says, it's not God's word like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. The true word of the God. Oh. As the word of God goes forth, it brings damage. It disrupts. It shakes, makes things uncomfortable. We, as the true church of the living God, we have an incredible opportunity to make an incredible change in our nation. A nation that once stood wholeheartedly with the nation of Israel is now being infiltrated by a spirit that is trying to get us to sever ties and to be like Edom and stand back and watch what happens to the nation of Israel. But I'm here this morning to decree and declare that the church of the living God is rising up. With a voice that will speak louder than the protest on college campuses, a voice that will speak loud. Oh! A voice that will sound out through this nation and the nations of this world that will be heard loud and clear, that the true church of the living God will not bow. We will not give in to what the enemy wants. But we will stand with the nation of Israel. Like fire shut up in my bones this morning. The true church of the living God must have a heart that is for Israel and the Israeli people. The true church of the living God must not be silent, but speak up and openly declare its allegiance and love for Israel. The true church of the living God must not be passive and sitting idle, doing nothing, but rather intercede and pray for Israel and for the peace of Jerusalem. The true church of the living God must intercede for the leadership of the United States of America to embrace and to wholeheartedly support the nation of Israel. God spoke to Edom through the prophet Obadiah, and you go and you read the rest of that chapter, you'll find out that God says the coming judgment is going to happen to you what you did to them. It's the same thing that God said to Abram. He says, those that will bless you, I will bless them, and those that curse you, I will curse you. Church, we can affect the change that is needed in our nation right now. But we have to be uncompromising. We cannot give in, but we must boldly stand up and speak loudly concerning this thing. And we must not be idle. What I mean by that is we must pray. We must pray. We must pray for them and for God's plans to prevail and for, our nation. I mean, the list is long. There's not enough paper. That is the word of the Lord. And I'm just going to read it. I'm going to read it again. Somewhere in here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My church must not embrace the spirit of hatred that is rising up against the Jewish people and nation of Israel. We must check our heart. I want to ask you this morning, will you stand with me? As we pray for the nation of Israel, as we pray for the United States of America, Father, we humbly come before you this day. We think about Esau, we think about these stories and things that we've read. When really Esau and Edom should have been that support for Israel. Father, if there's anything that is in our heart that is having ill will or disdain for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, Lord, we repent right now in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would cleanse us and forgive us for any iniquity. We've heard your word this morning, Father. We desire to stand for your truth and your purpose. And in agreement with your word, you said for us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so we pray this morning for the nation of Israel. While it's turbulent times and we know that things are going to get worse, but we pray for peace in Jerusalem. We pray for the leadership and the government over there. We ask, Father, that you get into their minds and into their hearts. That you give them foresight and insight, Lord, that you would give them wisdom in their dealings and what to do, what not to do. And may everything that they do in line with you and doing to honor you in Jesus' name. We think about the people that are over there, Father. Everybody that's in the Middle East, there's so much unrest, Lord. We are asking for a wave of your spirit to move through. Did he not say, is there not a balm in Gilead? Is there not healing in your wings, God? Did you not say that? God, we are asking that you would move by your spirit through the Middle East and through the people and bring healing, Lord, and restoration, Father. We pray, Father, the damage, the destruction, and the loss of life would be lessened greatly, God. And that you, God, would be glorified in that area, Lord, in Jesus' name. We think about those, Father, that we've even had in this ministry that are Jewish. We think about Joshua Aaron, who's a part of this family here, God. We pray for him and his ministry and his family, his daughter. We ask, Father, that you give your angels charge over them to keep them in all of their ways and that you would use them and let that sound that you put inside of them, let it be released, God, throughout the Middle East, God. Let it go through the airways, God, and let your presence manifest, God, in Jesus' name. We think about Dr. Michael Brown, Father, and the incredible ministry that you've given him, Father, in the line of fire. And then he's a part of this ministry, a part of this family. And we are asking, God, that you would continue to strengthen him, give your angels charge over him as well. And we are asking, Father, that you give him the grace to continue to stand boldly, Father, in the face of all kinds of opposition and persecution that comes his way, God. We ask, Father, that you would have your way, God. Strengthen him with might by your spirit in his inner man, God. And let his sound be released, God. And this morning we pray for the United States of America. Father, we ask for your mercy, God. For you said, Father, that there is a recompense of reward for iniquity. God, we acknowledge, God. And humbly bow before you and say, Father, that we as a nation, Father, have missed the mark. We have not done things, Father, wholeheartedly, Father, according to your word. And we ask as the church of the living God, did you not say in your word that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, you will not hear from heaven? Will you not forgive our sins and heal our land? God, please. Will you forgive us for our iniquities, Father? Forgive us for sins of commission and sins of omission, God. For pride and arrogance and deception, Father, and greed. We ask that you have mercy in Jesus' name, and we pray for the leadership of this nation. We pray for politicians and all government branches, Father, all forms of government. We ask, Father, that you would get in their hearts, God. Helping them to understand, to look back over the history of the United States of America. And we have been an incredibly blessed nation because we have blessed and stood with the nation of Israel. And so therefore, Father, we ask, God, that you would touch them, God. Encounter them and open their eyes, God. so that they can boldly declare, Father, that we, the United States of America, we the people, stand with Israel. So we ask, Father, even concerning our colleges and the riots and the uprising that is taking place, Father, violence and just all kinds of chaos that's going forward. God, we ask for revival. What can cause two that hate each other come together and hug? Only the presence of the living God. So we're asking, God, for a fire and a wind to blow throughout our nation, through all of the universities and campuses in the United States, God. Will you manifest your glory? Will you send men and women, Father, that have your spirit and your heart and your word on the inside of them? Will you commission them to go, God? Will they go, God, and let them speak? And as they speak, will you confirm your word? Will you confirm your messengers with miracles, signs, and wonders, God? We thank you, God. We praise you. We, Ocean Genite Christian Center, under the leadership of Pastor Alex and Naomi Pappas, stand with the nation of Israel, God. And we thank you for pastors, Father, that love you, pastors that desire to see your will come to fruition, God. We bless you. We honor you. It's in no other name but in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, somebody just give a hand clap to the living God. God bless you guys.